Elder Stanley Cato. Lord be with you, Brother Stan.
It's good to be here. Thank God for His many blessings upon us, not just today, but throughout all of our days. Appreciate those good things that have gone before. And when we consider the time, everyone's looking at their watch. Not everyone. Anticipating time that, as per usual, I'm standing between you and lunch. I have no feelings for you in that regard. Really, I wear a watch so I get to church on time. I don't pay much attention to it after I get to church. And try to be reasonable, but I will say once again, it's good to see faces. And if we come together and we see faces and it jogs our memory, if that doesn't touch our heart, perhaps we're just too focused on our own agenda. Okay. I almost never, ever come to this place that one of my prime thoughts is not Carlton Priest and Sister Priest. Vicki and I had a little conversation about that this morning. It's not a bad thing to remember that the last time I saw him alive is that the Baileys were with Vicki and I. We stood around the bed at home before he passed, and it was just a matter of days shortly thereafter. And when we think about passing and we think about those that have gone on, we still carry grief with us. I assure you that Brother Carlton is not suffering with any grief.
Amen.
And grief is for the living. The scripture teaches us that the dead know nothing as far as what is here, but precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, that they rejoice in glory. And not after a while, but we're talking about to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we trust this morning that we have those good memories and we have the blessings in memory that God has bestowed upon us, and that we come this morning not in desperation, not in some hand-wringing dilemma about the things that are going on in the world. It wouldn't be the first time that the greatest country, nation in the world vanished from the scene if it happened to America.
That's right.
It's happened before.
Yep.
More times than we probably know. Most of the history we know is more Western. We know very little about Oriental history and the great things that have happened in the Orient, and that's well and good. God's in control and charge there, just as He is here. Mm-hmm. We also don't understand most of the time that while we think globally that we're influenced to a great degree, but that doesn't mean that tribes in Afghanistan are not greatly influenced within a very small circle, that their tragedies are just like ours.
Yeah.
It's just a struggle. We live in a world that sometimes believe that if politics doesn't fix it, that we're sunk.
That's
Well, if politics can fix it, we're pretty much sunk anyway.
That's right.
Okay. If you pin your hopes on man, the scripture has been plain from the beginning.
Amen.
Yeah, that if we depend upon man, we're depending upon that which will fail us. When Jeremiah was told, I believe it was Jeremiah, that when God had promised Israel that they would be carried away in captivity, and that there were some that believed that they could escape what God said, they could make it otherwise, so they were going to form an alliance with Egypt, I believe it was, and the Lord just told them, you know, that Egypt is a weak stick that a man leaneth on, and it runs through his hand. You imagine that. Okay, it's like take a poor old crippled guy like me, and you put him on a cane, and he's trying to negotiate through life and walk across the street, and the cane breaks, and the shards go right through your hand. Okay, if you're trusting in a world to deliver you from the dilemma that the world creates, you're looking to get a stick in the hand.
Amen.
Okay? It's not going to happen. There's a lot of good things in this world. And there is an evil in this world. And there's a lot of folks that believe that if we get all of our ducks in a row, we can have utopia. I do remember the Beatles. I remember that heady time. I was a product of the 60s. Went to my 50th high school reunion just not too long ago. They put a copy of my yearbook picture on a blue ribbon and put it around my neck. I didn't even know who that guy was. Okay? He didn't have a beard because he got kicked out of school for that. The hair wasn't too long because you got sent away from home for that. Okay, but 50 years passes. And God is still God.
Amen.
And the world is still the world we live in.
Amen.
And trials and tribulations have beset men and folks who are not well-versed in humanity, not well-versed in the natural in even rudimentary understanding of what this world is, that if you believe that there's a God in heaven, if you believe there's a creator, do you think he made you just to show you how miserable he can make you? You see, there's a lot of people that lean towards that kind of ideology. It's not how miserable God can make you, it's how miserable men and yourself can make you and have made you. There's a great simplicity in creation.
Amen.
God is a creator. God created the heavens and the earth. I don't know how he did it. That's not my job. I know this, that this magnificent place we live is just a speck in the magnificent universe that exists, and that there is a creator that made it, that created it, is as good an explanation as all the science in the world has ever been able to bring to pass. But listen, that doesn't mean that we don't want to know anything. It doesn't mean we want to wear blinders. It's just let us, Lord, see the majesty and the depths. It's not about all of those things that are beyond us. Just help me understand who I am and who God is. And when we think about that, the great, the wonderful things that exist here in this life. We think about God and His, as one of the brethren said last night, that, you know, people talk about God's plan. God doesn't have a plan. God has a will. God has a prevenient will. He prevents some things. God has a permissive will. God has total, absolute knowledge of everything. But that doesn't mean that God made everything happen that happens. But He's not ignorant of it. And any one of those things He could prevent are those things that He chooses to allow. And the reason for that is why someone would say, why would that person do that to their family? I have no idea. God knows. And when we think that we can put a label on it, we tend to believe that we can know more than what we do know.
Right.
Lord, keep us humble.
Yep.
That we might really understand where we are in this life. I taught school for many, many, many years. It was always just when you would see a child just get right on the edge of a thing and grasp it and have it and they own it. Okay. And they would just take that knowledge and just, they would expand it and just go, you know. When we think about Apostle Paul saying that I might win Christ, that he just might have part of that, that he just might pull it to himself, that it just might go in the power and the might of winning. Not winning to finally get saved, but to live in a tranquil state of mind and heart, that what headlines are in the paper today or what news flash comes across the screen this evening, that it will not shake us from our faith. Amen. And trust in Almighty God. I'd like to read to you this morning from the book of 2 Corinthians. The learned apostle. And if we know anything from the book of Acts, we know the different things that the apostle endured, and not just him. First of all, we need to have some understanding of what kind of Savior Christ was when He came here into the world. There were those that were with God, with Christ, God manifest in the flesh, that were looking for that war that the brethren spoke of that would redeem the kingdom of Israel, that would put it back in power and would overthrow Roman rule. Okay. So it was in that light that many of them took it upon themselves that they wanted to expel the heathen and they wanted to build up the Jewish religion. And they were zealous in a lot of things. When Christ came and His disciples were with Him, and they were those that were contrary, James and John says, you want us to call down fire out of heaven on them? That sounds like some of the TV evangelists you might hear in the world. You want us to call down some fire? You know what the Lord said? You don't know what spirit you're of, okay? I'm telling you, there's no church, there's no doctrines, there's nothing in the world today that's being preached that's worth its salt if all it does is condemn somebody else.
Amen.
It's not worthwhile. I mean, there's enough condemnation in the world as it is. I believe I know who the Lord wants. Not because I read in this book, okay? I believe the Lord appeared to me as a child. I was a happy child. I was happy to go to church. I was happy to hear. And I will tell you first and foremost that it wasn't God that disappointed me in this life. It was me and people like me. You understand that? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're on. There is a world out there that God has already told us that we are born, we come into this world, we're hateful and hating one another. We're factionalized, and we believe sometimes that if we are going to heaven, we have to have all our theology right. I'm telling you, there are folks that are going to heaven that never ever had their theology right. Never ever had one.
Yep.
Why? Because God didn't create us to make us miserable. Amen. He created us for His glory.
Amen.
That we would praise, honor, and glorify Him.
Yep.
That's who God is. Yep. You know, a lot of folks today have one picture of God. That's God at Sinai. The other folks have a picture of God. And that He's this man in a beard and a dress who looked like a hippie in the 60s, walking down the street singing Kumbaya. That's not Him either. He's not Ravi Shankar. He's not the Dalai Lama. He is God.
Amen.
In the heavens. And He walked this earth in the person of Jesus Christ as a Jew. Not blonde-haired, blue-eyed. He was a Jew. And He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Surely if there's anybody ought to have been ready to receive Him, it would have been the very Jews that rejected Him.
Yep.
And when He came and He sat in the temple that day, and He picked up and He read the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah, He said, "In this day is it fulfilled in your ears?" And you know what? You should have known.
Yep.
Did they? No. You know why? Because they didn't know what kind of God they were. They didn't know what kind of Messiah they were looking for. They wanted one that spoke to their outward nature. They wanted a king, just like Israel did in the days of Saul. We know the Apostle Paul was one of those Jews. We know that he preached. We know his journeys. What, three circuits, right? If we understand correct. And here, there, and everywhere, went back, visited the churches. He says in one place that he was beaten with stripes, shipwrecked, what, three times? Only one we know something about, I believe. Beaten with stripes, save one, how many times? We don't know. 40, save one, how many times? Over and over. We know in one place he went and preached, and I believe that was at Corinth. And he ended up staying there about 18 months or maybe 3 years. And the Lord stood by him in the night and he says, "Don't worry, Paul."
Yeah.
I mean, he's bleeding.
Yeah.
He's suffering. And he'd been dragged out of the city and let down over a wall in one place as though he were already dead. And Paul said, "Don't worry." God says, "Don't worry. I have a lot of people in this city."
Yeah.
And Paul might have been, if he was like us, if he was like this world, he would have said, "Yeah, and they all hate me."
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, okay. What was Paul getting for what he did? Okay, my dad was a hard shell Baptist preacher. If he'd have quit on the people that kept stumbling up there in Webster County, if he'd have quit on the people that left him alone when there was work to be done, he surely wasn't working for his glory. And it wasn't just my father, okay? My dad had a buddy. Spent nearly 50 years in the mines. And you could work when you're 13 then. 12, 13. And I heard him tell a man one time when he was talking about something. And Mason looked at him and he says, "Fella, I've been farther back under the mountain than you've been away from home." You understand that? People that have been somewhere.
Right.
Okay, people that have experienced these things, that they've seen the hand of God working among people that have nothing, profess nothing, and never want to be anything.
Right.
Except they want to have the joy. They want to have the peace. That I might be destitute of bread. I might be destitute of the fine things in this life. But I want to have the peace of God in my heart. And Apostle Paul preached this gospel. He said, "I've been in all kinds of trouble. I've upset them at Rome or at Athens. He said, some have taken in hand, they don't trust me because he that was a persecutor has now become a preacher. So the apostle says in these verses, and I'm going to be short. Verse 1, chapter 4, therefore seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. There's not a preacher sitting here, nor that we can name or think of, that would not have fainted in the way if it wasn't for the mercy that God has given.
Amen.
I have no idea how many times I've been up and down this highway. I don't have any idea how many different places I had my wife and children in different places from Florida to here and farther north. If you've ever been to Delaware to church with Dwayne Fletcher, you think you've been to the moon, let me tell you. It's just a hard journey to remember if you remember Brother Dwayne, okay? So if we have mercy, God has attended our way. It's not just preachers. God has attended His church's way.
Amen.
Go out in the Midwest, see where L. Wilson Thompson, I believe it was, see the churches he founded. You think that the mountains might be desolate? Go out in the land that's so flat they don't have enough trees to make landmarks out of. Okay? And they plant a church out there somewhere. And the next thing you know, out of the little farms and places they would congregate. Why have we not fainted? Because God has given us mercy.
Amen.
He says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It is only natural that men would be blinded to the light of God. We're at the head of the food chain. I guess we all know that, right? And I guess we all understand that we're problem solvers. There's many, many things that we do. We have conquered diseases. We have won wars. We have surmounted difficulties. Okay? I just read the other day, they opened a new part of the Panama Canal. Isn't that right? They got bigger container ships going through there now. Okay? Like, gracious, what a marvelous feat that is. Look at the Great Wall of China. Look at a man on the moon. Think about all the things. So, guess what? It's only natural that men look to men first. They look to themselves first. But I am telling you, when you're sinking in the depths of despair, when you're in a position where Paul was, he said that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And that I would do, I can't do. And when we find that there are those that are sinking down, and those that like the heart thirst for water, like the heart to thirst for the water brooks. And there's nobody. Think about Elijah when he was there and the brook dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Who was he depending on? Brother Robert? It was a very unnatural situation. Who did God send to feed Elijah?
Yeah.
Ravens. You really? My, my, my. A friend of mine and I in high school, we wanted to be falconers, okay? We couldn't find any falcons, and we did find a nest of buzzards. You just get close and it's too much for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we consider these things, that we believe we can do everything, that we can surmount all of the obstacles, and then we think about what men have not only accomplished, but we can think about what men have caused. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is what? Now look what we've earned ourselves. People would say, You mean for just one little transgression? What did they get out of that little transgression? What is a child who disobeys parents? What do they get out of it? First of all, when you think about who we are, we think inside out. We think about what's good for me. I hate to tell you this, but our nature doesn't change. When God borns us again of His Spirit, we have a nature in us that stays exactly the same way it's always been. What works for me? Okay? I mean, it's simple. Had that little bowl of Frosted Flakes at the hotel this morning. Those things are not allowed in our house. That's just sugar and stuff I don't need to eat. Well, they don't have any half and half or cream like I have at home. But they got their little coffee things, so I put them in my cereal. You know why? That's what pleases me. You know why there's 10,000 different denominations preaching the so-called gospel of the Son of God? Because there are people who like it their way. But we're not talking about what I want to eat, what anybody else wants to eat. We're talking about the gospel of the Son of God. And Paul says that we will preach the gospel and stand by the word of God no matter who, before every man. That we're not slanted. We're just going to tell you the truth. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Servants. When that entourage comes through and they're filling some stadium because the latest, greatest evangelist is there, does his license plate say S-E-R-V-A-N-T on the back of it? No, it doesn't. You want to know why? Because he's not a servant. He is serving self. Paul says, our servants, your servants, for what? For whose sake? For Jesus' sake. In the fifth chapter of the book, this book, he says, I believe it's the fifth, says, we are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, ambassadors, what does that mean? We're not from here. In the Philippian letter 4:20, it says, for our citizenship or our conversation is where? It's in heaven, okay? What is the message of gospel? Is it about this world? There's a lot of things in the gospel that tells us what this life is like. But I am telling you, it's a good news, not from the near country, but it's a good news from a far country. A country that's far from this. For our conversation is heaven, from whence we await the Lord Jesus Christ, who will appear, my friends. Not the first time. We're talking about now. We're waiting for the appearance of Jesus now.
Amen.
Even so, John says, come quickly. Amen. And we understand this, that it can be today, it can be tonight, it can be in the morning. We may never see another rising sun because we might see the Son of Glory arise.
Amen. Amen.
This very day. And He's coming without sin unto salvation to carry those that He bought and paid for. And when He died on Calvary's cross, He owns them. And He will present them to Himself as a glorious bride and present us as a glorious family before the God in heaven, God the Father, and God the Son, and the church that He redeemed.
Amen.
In heaven. And Paul says that we're your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Marvelous. If you read this Bible, first of all, you should remember that God is its author.
Amen.
There's not a word in here that God did not inspire, that God did not bless, so no man could take credit for it. But if you read this Bible, and you read David's Psalms, who was a man after God's own heart, you read the first five books that Moses wrote, the Pentateuch, and then you read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you come and you read all of the things that God poured through Paul to put on these pages for us to read. Yeah. And you think, here is a man that was like unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, just so totally, totally blessed. And what did he say? Everything I've learned, I've counted it as what? Yeah. But dung. Just fertilize. Because I knew all of those things that was about the letter. I knew all of the things that was about the law. I knew everything that was in the Talmud. I knew everything that was in the Decalogue. I knew everything that was in the Psalms. I didn't know what any of it meant, but I knew every word of it. You ever understand that? There's a lot of people in the world today that understand the Constitution, but they don't know what it's like to be free in America. You see, everybody thinks that one of the things is that America gives me the freedom to do what I want and you the freedom to do nothing. It's all personal, okay? Let me tell you, every man that walks this earth, I believe, ought to have the freedom that I have. But the freedom he has cannot be the freedom to incur, stand in the way of mine. My freedom ends, or your freedom ends where my nose begins. I believe that's the way we say that. Okay. But there are a lot of people that believe that, okay, we have a constitution. Okay, now then we will take that constitution, we'll rule God's church with it. That won't work. You want to know why? God's law does not suffer amendments. God's law does not suffer abridgments. When Christ died on the cross, he died for the very commandments that you and I broke. God is just. God is holy. Cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Okay? I hope we all get that. Okay? Because that's what's condemned man to the grave. Now it's all right if it does happens to me. I'm deserving. It's all right if it happens to that vile person that slew thousands, that finally bit the cyanide capsule and popped a cap in his head. It's all right if it happens to you. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Elder Ed Murphy told me a story about children. And he said everybody has a certain idea about salvation for men, for women, for grown folks, for the good guys and the bad guys, and for the virtuous and the not so virtuous. He said, but what do they do with the little baby that you walk the floor for 3 days and it cries 24/7, never stops until it dies? The wages of sin is death. Why? Because God is just, and God is holy, and God is not unmerciful.
Maybe it.
Because I can tell you that that little babe goes to a joy that is greater than this earth could ever, ever afford. I have not seen nor ear heard for the great things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And people will say, well, what did that little child ever do? It was a product of its parents. It was a sinner by nature. It inherited the cause. It inherited the wages. But the gift of God is eternal life through what? There's a world that's trying to scare you out there. I'll tell you that right now. They're trying to tell you, okay, you got to get saved. And we don't care if you're a phony as a $3 bill. But if we can pack you in and we can hold sway over you the rest of your life, and that we can make you believe that because you're here, that your life in heaven is great, or that it's secure, I am telling you that when it comes to my day, your day, standing before the entrance into heaven, I tell you one thing, that if it's about merit, I'm done. And so are you. But I have a different picture of heaven. I have a picture of the Lord of glory, wearing His glory wounds, my friends, straight into heaven's gate. Behold, Father, I and the children that Thou hast given me, not a one of them is missing, none is lost, there's none broken, there's none blind, there's none lame, there's none crying, all rejoicing for the glory of God and heaven's King. Paul says, we have these treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God. And he says, and I would like to get to the end, but it's time. He says, we're persecuted on every hand. I have to read this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What does he mean by that? The persecution he has? The persecution that those that are with him are suffering? The persecution that the early church in that day was being subjected to? This is just exactly a picture of what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution. Suffering. The church has always been suffering, friends. Okay? America's been one of the finest places for the church. But the church has been suffering. Been suffering under fire and flames and flood. One of the first things that ever happens when somebody wants to take over a country is the first thing they want to do is destroy their churches and their religions.
Yep.
Okay? If you, sitting here in this pew, in these pews today, and you think that there's not a war between religions and ideologies going on in the world, you just need to go get you a history book and a newspaper.
Amen.
And see if you
Amen.
Can't find where it fits. Okay? There are those that hate us. There are those that we in our heart, whether we're right or wrong, we hate them. And when we can't admit that, then what we're saying is that we're righteous in our hate and they're unrighteous in theirs. Well, let me tell you. There is a struggle in this world. And I believe that right will prevail. But I believe dark clouds will come just like it did to the Apostle Paul's day. And he says, we're troubled. He said, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. But there's a reason for that. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, it was manifest that when Paul was pulled out of that city believing that he was dead, he's manifesting what is happening to the church. Of what happened to Christ at Calvary. But when he lives, you know what he's manifesting? That Jesus is alive at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
That he lived, that he resurrected him from the dead. Third day. And Paul says that, you know, we bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, but we also bear about in our body the evidence that God has preserved us, has resurrected us after a sword. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh, So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Let me skip. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also with Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
I know Brother Gary doesn't feel well. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to have pain. Sister Mary's at home right now, sitting in a wheelchair because she doesn't know what else to do. There are people in here that have had pain probably worse than any of us. Unreal. But when we think about pain, that can give you a lot of things to dull your senses. Okay? But when you wake up the next day, you still have that same pain and you still need something to dull your senses. Okay. I know good and well that we go through high times. Who said it this morning? We have ups and downs. We have highs and lows. Okay. I try to get somewhere above the flood. But I try to keep one foot on the ground because this is where I still am. Okay. But if I had to carry yesterday's grief and today's too, I'm not making it.
No.
I'm not going to make it. I don't want to suffer a repeat of what happened 3 years ago, and I think about it. But you ask yourself sometimes, like, how much can I withstand? I can stand exactly as much as the Lord sends me. And the balance that I can't take, He will.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? You're raising kids, you're facing old age, you're facing trials and dilemmas in life. As the Apostle Paul said, we're persecuted, but we're not destroyed. Because our inward man is renewed every day. I see folks sometimes looking at two or three that's on the church rolls and they wonder, what are we going to do about the church? Well, that decision will come one way or the other, my friends. You don't have to rush at it. I am telling you that whatever God does, He will hold us up. We're killed all the day long, but we live. We have His treasure in earthen vessels, Paul says further. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our present afflictions, what does he call them? Fleeting, just for a little while. Let me point you to somebody. You remember those children of Israel that walked in that wilderness for 40 years? Some died there. Some, Caleb and Joshua, went out. Their sufferings were what? Just for a while. David hid from Saul for a while. There's everyone you can name in these scriptures. They suffered for a little while, and then God delivered them. Just like those Hebrew children this morning we talked about. They said to the king, he said, look, we're not going to do what you say. And we don't know whether God will deliver us alive or deliver us in death. But whatever it is, king, you got no control over us anymore. We're done. We're finished here. We need to understand that Satan can only do so much to us.
Mm-hmm.
The body can only be killed one time. And that after that, it was just like when I was sick. I know one thing. The Lord's coming for me, either to comfort me or take me home. One or the other. The Apostle Paul is teaching us here that while we live, everything that happens to us is what? It's to redound to the glory of God. It is to redound. It works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. That we're more intimate with heaven now, having suffered. We're more ready. If you take an apple that's on the tree and you can watch, and it looks just exactly like about the size that is ready, okay? But the limbs are not really bent, but in those last few days, it takes on that weight that starts the tree to sag. And sometimes I feel like that God is ripening me to be away from this world. I feel that God is preparing His children here in the world. And Apostle Paul says that while we live, let it be to who? Glory to God. Amen. I have not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And while we're thinking, but our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now then, we talked about those brethren that suffered. Well, let me tell you, there was a sufferer. That was acquainted with grief. He was with God before the earth was created. He was with God all of the way until He took upon Himself a body of flesh like His brethren, sin excepted. And Jesus Christ was the Son of God before He ever came. He didn't become a son when He was born. And He was verily God and verily man. Scripture tells us that He was acquainted with grief. And when He came here and He was rejected. And that He preached. And He was met with derision and contempt. And at the end of His preaching, the people in the city of His brethren wanted Barabbas delivered to them and not Jesus. And He went before the courts that was as crooked as any court that ever lived and was condemned by a Sanhedrin court of 70 men, each one more scared of the other than they were of God. And they condemned Him to the cross, and He died in our room instead. And He suffered from the very beginning, knowing that when He was there in the halls of wisdom before the earth ever was, that He would suffer, bleed, and die. And it's all exemplified in the 17th chapter of the book of John when He says, if it be possible,
right.
If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but not my will, but thine be done. And Paul says, what? Our sufferings are just fleeting. Just short. When we think about the short sufferings of the church in America. We think about the short sufferings of the church in Europe. All of these things are in the terms of men. They're just a drop in the bucket as far as time is concerned. But Paul says these are just momentary things. Nevertheless, when Paul got to Rome, we all know what happened to Paul. But what? We have this in earthen vessels for one reason. That the glory might not shine on God, might not shine on us, but shine on the Almighty God of heaven. He's your friend. He's a good God. He's not evil. He's not out to treat you bad. And He would have us praise, glorify, and honor Him. And it is true that we disparage God a lot. And sometimes we make God more like man. And sometimes we make man more like God. Or as gods. That's what Eve wanted, you know. But if we look to God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, God is able. Okay, let's just be stable. Let's just be firm. We know there's tragedies around, but there's also mercy, forgiveness, and deliverance around.
Amen.
Let those be our watchwords. That God can lift us up. God can heal our land. God can do those things. And there's no acts of contrition we can do that would compel Him. And what do God's little children need in the church house? The same thing my mother knew her children needed. Bread. Feed my sheep. And feed my lambs. Give us that which is convenient for us. If I need milk, give me milk. If I need strong meat, give me strong meat. Feed me, lest I die. Give us this bread, Lord, to come down from heaven, that a man eat and not die. That's the true bread, the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't live long feasting on your duty. You won't live long sipping the water that you can bring. Get you a rock and squeeze some water out of it and see if you can live long on that. Give us the water that comes out of the rock that flows, that strengthens, that nourishes, that the heart thirsts for. May God bless you.